Okay, let's see. Did the women who worked in the restaurants, in the 1930s, it must have been really hard to find a job. Was it difficult to find work in the restaurants? Was there turnover or?
Any I met, it's a hard working trade, believe me. And I met the old timers when I went in the Melrose. And of course, I was green to the work. And what I did notice was they, you'd hand the tips over to them because it was their tip. And they had a habit of sort of walking all over you at that stage. But by and large, it was up to you to find your pace to work with them. So you don't go out of your way to create any problems. You work with them, and I found by and large they're pretty good.
Was it hard to get on though on the re in the restaurants because of the level of unemployment?
No. There was always work, girls needed.
Did you need training though, or?
It's a job where you have to, you learn as you go along. You're acting as a bus girl at first, and it's up to you. If you're a good person in the house, in housework, you can get on with the trade. But it's not a job that you can treat lightly because it's hard working, and a skilled girl can work her way around the place like mad.
Were most of the women who worked during the Depression, and then later during the Second World War married or single women?
There was a lot of them who were married, and
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was working. They had to. You know,
You continued to work once you were married,
yes,
did
I
you?
did.
Right.
Well, just because Bill was working, the pay wasn't high at that stage, so you worked.
What did he do?
He was the business agent of the union.
Out of the hotel and restaurant,
Yes, and the pay wasn't high
right?
at that stage. I remember when I took over, it was $25 a week. Well, that may seem like a lot of money, but considering that you were traveling all over by foot, as it were, and you covered the whole trade, the whole industry, it
Yeah.
wasn't easy.
Did you have any children?
No,
No, right.
never
So.
had children.
And did you do most of the work around the house when you, so you were both working and sort of maintaining your home?
Well, I did because the drain and the like Bill was became the an officer of the Marine Workers Union. I worked up until I got arthritis in my shoulder, and I had to one morning I woke up and I had arthritis in my spine. That finished me
Oh,
for work.
God.
And that's another, oh, that's a story. And
Did you, in part, do you think, get those, were those occupational
yes,
disease?
that was as they said, the strain on arms and shoulders. Well, when you do this kind of work, this tremendous, it's heavy work. And we worked so steady that there was no let up in it. You know, that type of thing. And this was an aftermath of work. Not only that, your diet has a bearing on it, and you didn't always watch your diet.
When you worked in,
And well,
because you would get food as part of the job.
Yes, you ate in the restaurant you worked in, but I walked in the basement one time. I was sent down to get something, vinegar or something, I forget what it was. Got the shock of my life. There's a barrel of carrots, potatoes, turnips, beets, whatever, sitting in water right up to the rim. Well, that's for next day. And then that water is drained out, and all the good of your vegetable is drained out. So what you're actually getting is food where all the good of the food is washed out. And, I worked in restaurants for 16 years. I had a terrible calcium problem. If I went into a new house, I was in immediate trouble because lack of calcium is something that affects, if you ever have had that problem, I could write books about it. And it was affected through the food you ate. Mm-hmm. And this is all too prevalent, this business of food being washed out of the vegetables.
Right.
And when I got the arthritis, I had to quit. But I did all the housework because the business agent that has my husband's job now, his wife's chief complaint is he never takes garbage out. We were married 37 years and Bill never took the garbage out. I made darn sure he didn't because I took it out. You see how something seems so important to one person, and to me it's ridiculous. Right. Because as I said to her, she has no concept of what her husband is undergoing, the tremendous pressures that he goes under. And a woman, I think, can handle this a little bit better than some men. You know, aside from everything, I know the fellas in the unions, it's not easy.
Did the job and the work change during the Second World War and the kind of people who worked in restaurants at all?
No, we were organized fairly well. Organization level at that time was very high. And you worked hard. There were inner problems that happened between the international and the local here, but nothing that we couldn't handle.
How did you personally get involved in unions? In trade unionism?
Well, when I worked in the restaurant, when I started in the union, like the restaurant.
That was unionized, right?
It was, yes, see, the man that sent me on the job in the first place was organizing to cut unions out, and he sent me to a restaurant not knowing that I was close to the movement.
You had already become sympathetic to trade unions?
Oh, yes. I had from 34 on. And not that I was unaware of them, but then when I became involved, why, I never said anything to him. He sent me on the first contact and I got a job. And from there on, you know, it was up to you. You be prepared to work and at all times when you're on the job, you're there as a member of the union. So you keep it on a pretty high level. Mm-hmm. And that it's up to you to find your way to work and with the people you work mm-hmm. and with the people you come in contact. I have no problem that way.
Right.
I found even if I got laid off, so mm-hmm. you carry on. I didn't get laid off too many times, but as I said, that incident at the Melrose should never have happened.
Right.
Because it was Tom's stupidity thinking that I was going to just calmly apologize for what? For a man who was responsible for two of our girls being laid off, and when it was inexcusable, you know, there was no need of that to have happened. That was a darn shame. I'll bring that over for you. Well, that kid couldn't even speak for herself. You know, she was young and she didn't have the experience that we had, and it wasn't right.
Well, I don't take any sugar. Oh. That's okay.
I should quit using sugar.
Oh, I already took some, so I put it on there.
That's fine. And it was a shame. My cat seems to like it out there. Do you know what she does? She lies down in the bird bath and goes to sleep. She loves it. So,
okay, so...
It was a constant struggle. You know,
when you talk about 1934, what kind of influences made you move towards that kind of sympathetic?
I came into the movement. Are you conversant with the Communist Party?
Well, I've met people who are active
in it. Well, at that time, I met a member of the Communist Party, very wonderful person, and talked about the conditions. And oh, I was so green. I didn't know the complex things that were, going on at that time. And through him, became conversant with the things that were happening. And that's how I became involved in the the attack on the Market Square. And it was shocking. I just couldn't believe that such a thing could truly happen.
So you entered trade unionism as a woman who already had a political perspective.
Well, a perspective of what took place there. And once you saw, and then too was the terrible things that were happening. People were being evicted, and we'd gang up, and they'd be evicted out on the sidewalk, children and all. And the whole gang of us would go and march everything back in the house. The sheriff would be there. Oh, it was despicable, the things that were done to people. And it was so wrong. And no one to turn to. Find a family out on the street, children and all, even babies. God, it's bad enough with no food, and let alone no shelter.
Who did the initial organizing of the unions in the hotel industry? Was it the Workers' Unity League who did that work in Vancouver?
No, the Workers' Unity League, the role they played, I became aware of them. There was a family in front of the, I came along to Woodward, in front of Woodward's store. At that time, the Workers' Unity League was up in the flat block.
Mm-hmm.
And much to my horror, there was a family on the street. The mother was pregnant, and the four little children, and the father standing there, and they're appealing for help. They had no relief, no food, nothing. And Tommy Nelson, this was a Saturday, and Tommy Nelson was in the office. So Tom was the secretary of the Unity League at that time.
Right.
And I ran up to the office and I said, "Tom, there's a family out here. Jack Phillips, have you heard of Jack Phillips?"
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jack Phillips was about 19 years old then, and so was I. And this happened in the fall of 36. And Jack was with this family. And I ran up to the office and I told Tom what was going on down there about this family appealing for help. And Tommy immediately ran off a bunch of leaflets on the mimeograph machine. And next thing, I had a bundle of sheets, and "Get down there, we'll hand them out." And Tom came out, and so he went to help the family. Just then the police department came up. And I remember people lined up on the street. They're all booing the police. Police picked up the family, so I went with Tom up to the police station. But before that, I'm standing there with the leaflets. I don't know what to do with them. I'm scared to hand them out. Just then a woman grabbed a leaflet, and with that I started handing them out. I was so busy by the time the police had gone, and so Tom and I walked up to the police station, and he introduced himself, and so I just sat and waited. And the man who owned the Hastings Bakery at that time was close to the movement, and put up bail for people who required it in the labor field. And he put up bail for this family, and it took till about 9 o'clock that night before we could get this thing cleared. The judge was on holiday, and he had gone to a summer home, which was somewhere either at that time, Deep Cove or Horseshoe Bay or whatever, somewhere. Now I have forgotten in the meantime. Mm-hmm. so long ago, but it took till that time to get this thing cleared. And so, and the family released and fed and all the other things that go along with it.
Would they be arrested for non-payment of rent?
No, it wasn't that. It was, they were begging. This was the term. But they had no food. Tom and I went to the house the next morning. You could have eaten off the floor. Have you heard of Jimmy, the son lives, okay, Jimmy Bainan. Have you heard of the Bainans? Well, you know, it was years later at a meeting, a lady kept talking to me, and she says, "You don't remember me." And I looked at her. I didn't know her from a hole in the wall. And she says, "I'm the lady that was out in front of Woodward's with my family." And her daughter by this time was quite grown, the one she was carrying at the time. She's mentally retarded. That was because the woman couldn't get food.
Malnutrition.
And the terrible worries and strain of it at that time. And I was at her 75th birthday. We went out, neighbors of hers and old friends, we went out to where they are in they live in a camp, you know, where they have cars.
Trailer
camp.
Right.
And she's out there. Her husband died last year, and it was kind of sad. Right as soon as she went out there, he died, so she's pretty lonely, but she has a lovely family.
So the Workers Unity League would be involved in leading the unemployed struggles and
right.
defending?
Right. At that time, Tom took care of the details of that.
Did it do any organizing of, like, workers who were into unions? Like,
oh, yes.
What kind of organizing did it do in BC?
Well, it was for people that got into problems.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. Not in the unions. The union looks after their own in that respect. But families that had problems, you know, like labor problems,
mm-hmm.
generally. This is the role of the trade of the Labor Defense League.
That was the Labor Defense
yes.
League?
Yes.
What about the Workers' Unity League? Did they organize communication workers or domestics or...?
No, not that I know of.
Right, okay. Was there organizing going on during the 1930s of domestic workers? Or?
There was from the Labor Council side.
Right.
I just forget her name. She's still in the trade union movement.
Huh.
She was active in that role. She's now quite on
the years.
Was
it Helena Guttridge? Or?
Helen Guttridge?
Yes. Yeah.
She's passed away.
Right.
I can't think of her name at the moment. She's still in the Labor Council.
Right, okay, I'll check.
She's been active for years. But, there's been tremendous things have happened. Some marvelous people have played a tremendous role. Harold Brichette was in the logging union and
right.
woodworkers, tremendous. Some wonderful people have passed on.
So when you actually got involved within the union, it was through working in a union place. And then what kind of difference did the union make to the kind of conditions on the job?
Oh, tremendous.
Can you describe that a bit?
The aprons, for one thing. Right. The hours. The ultimately changed it so that workers can't get off after 2 o'clock in the morning without transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And the conditions of work. The whole decorum has been changed. And they've made it a work that is feasible to work. In the other way, it was grim, you know, mm-hmm. like getting off 4 o'clock in the morning, no transportation. At that time, I worked in a shop on Main Street now. The police would drive you home. they'd come into a coffee shop around 4. They would drive you home, but sometimes things would happen whereby they couldn't be in the shop. So sooner than let you walk, they'll drive you home. But they couldn't do it because there was some problem that, of their
work. That they would have to attend to.
So you ended up by walking. Well, let me tell you, that's another story. You can walk into all sorts of problems. I remember I got off, my shift at Love's was I got off at 4 o'clock. Now, there's no transportation, and I lived in North Van. So what I would do is wait for the first bus and then take it to the ferry. Otherwise, you walked. Now, if you walk, then this is when you'd find all sorts of things. People in the ditches, in the doorways. It was unbelievable what you saw.
And was it frightening also? Yeah.
You better believe it. You see a man lying there and there's nobody around, no place to phone. So you go out on the road and bang somebody down if you can to phone for you and hope to heaven they would do it, or try and find a place where you could phone from. And, that's frightening. You can't leave them alone because somebody will come along and roll them, whatever. And children are another thing. Now, not the children are out at that hour, but say it's at night out somewhere where children are. Now, they don't mean to be unkind. I know they don't, but they don't realize that they're being sadistic in their behavior. They do all sorts of cruel things. It's shocking. And I know a man came along one morning. He was on his way home. At that time, I lived up at West 14th. It's up in Kitsilano. So he's on his way home. Okay, I landed up in the churchyard of St. Augustus Church up that way. And he wanted to put his hands on my knee. I said, 4 o'clock in the morning and you want to put your hands on my knee? Oh, I says, come on. I couldn't imagine anything more boring.
This is like a ride you'd gotten?
Yes, except at a lift. And believe me, don't accept a lift. Anyways, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in St. Augustus Church and he wants to put his hands on my knee. And I said, oh, I just, I'm building it up. I couldn't imagine anything more boring. I was scared to death. But you can't let on. So then he wanted me to come home with him. And his wife was out of town. I said, look, I would feel terrible going to some woman's home knowing that she's out of town. I says, what do your neighbors think? I'm working on this vein. If it's been somebody else, you see, but you can talk yourself out of some things. Depends on how you deal with it. And not that you'll always succeed, but I did with this man. So, okay, the net result was he let me out, and I'm walking home. And he's driving alongside of me and keeping he had a light, which I thought was prohibited, shining right on me as I'm walking along. I was hoping to heaven a police car would come along that would investigate this, but it didn't. So I walked all the way home with that creep with that light on me. You see what you can walk into?
Yeah, so it would make the question of hours of work a really important demand for waitresses.
It was. We lost a girl. We had a girl murdered at English Bay. Through this nonsense.
Yeah.
And the kid went to English Bay with some whatever. We never caught him. He got away with it, but we lost a girl.
That's terrible.
And it just made you aware that it's terrible. So the union passed the law that no girl can be let off after 2 without transportation. Either you get a cab or you provide the transportation. And rightly so.
Did you work on organizing any restaurants that were unorganized?
Yes.
Can you talk about those too?
I did, but I was so green at that time. We got the house organized, and then I thought, well, now the man won't. I don't know what my reasoning was. I've often thought about it since and laughed. I didn't come to work the next day, and the fella bawled me out. I didn't think he wanted me. When I think of it, how naive. You see how, even with your organizing, how you forget. Of course he had to take me back, but I...
Because you had formed a union. You were protected.
But I, you know how I did that, I'll never understand to this day. Anyways, I wouldn't have worked in his shop anyways. It wasn't my cup of tea.
What place was that?
Well, I forget the name of it now, but it was on Main Street. Not Main, Hastings Street. You know where the Only Fish is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's been a union house for over 60 years.
Are they still unionized?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Because I haven't seen union houses. This is something I'm quite shocked at. You never see a button. Seldom.
Most of them have been lost.
Yes.
Yeah. Except for the hotel.
I don't know what the score is. I'm going to go in one day and talk to Patty, just for my own information. But we had union houses all over the place. But we organized it, but it wasn't the house I would have worked in. I only went in there because I had about a week to spare, you know, in between a job. I worked in about 5 houses in the 16-year period, because I didn't shift around from job to job. But sometimes, due to the nature of the work, we'd help out.
Did the union send you in there to organize?
Yes. We utilized whoever was free at the moment. And so I worked in the house and helped. And then, but I wouldn't have worked in that house. It wasn't my cup of tea. I worked only in houses that worked around the clock.
Right. How would they organize, though? Would there be organizers who were outside from the union and then someone inside who would sign up?
No, from the inside out. You work with the kids that you're working with, if you can rely on them. I went into one shop, and this is in Horseshoe Bay, and I said to a girl, when are you kids going to make this a union house? It's the best house in Horseshoe Bay, and it's been busy for all the years I've been here. It's been there 40 years, over 40 years, and that clown walked up to the boss and told him. So he followed me around and kept talking about the union.
Anti-union.
So I thought, I just ignored him. I thought to myself, you know, if you see who he has in there, it's a bunch of kids. He has no specified organized group of workers. However, it's such a busy house. It should have...
job categories.
Yes. But however, that's a minor detail now.
Right.
But because like when I worked at Love's My, we were awfully busy in there. Love's and Melrose, of course, you worked around the clock there.
Were there any strikes at restaurants in the 30s?
Yes, we had the first sit-down strike in the Melrose, and it lasted exactly 6 minutes.
What were you demanding?
The wage, and then there was a question of... he wanted the waitress to wash the floor. Well, no waitress washes the floor. You get a man to do that work. And that was over in 6 minutes.
You just sat down?
Yes. And the apron issue.